Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Stories Are Weapons, Psychological Warfare, and the American Mind by Annalee Newitz is a work of narrative nonfiction that examines how psychological operations, propaganda, and disinformation have shaped American political and cultural life. Drawing on history, media analysis, and contemporary politics, Newitz traces the movement of PSYOPs from military and intelligence contexts into everyday domestic conflicts, including culture wars, online manipulation, and campaigns aimed at public perception. The book argues that storytelling is never politically neutral. It can be used to produce obedience, fear, and social division. But it can also be used to resist authoritarian framing and imagine alternative futures. Rather than treating propaganda as a marginal phenomenon, Newitz presents it as a deeply American tradition linked to advertising, science fiction, electoral influence, and racial and sexual panic. The result is a broad investigation into how narratives function as instruments of power and how counter-narratives can help rebuild civic trust. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how psychological warfare became a domestic American tool. One of the book's central arguments is that psychological warfare did not remain confined to battlefields or foreign policy. Newitz traces its evolution from military and intelligence settings into domestic political and cultural conflict, showing how the same basic techniques of persuasion, intimidation, and narrative control now shape public debate inside the United States. This matters because it reframes propaganda as a structural feature of modern American life rather than an isolated abuse. By linking revolutionary-era deception, campaigns against indigenous peoples, Cold War influence efforts, and digital manipulation, the book shows continuity across centuries. The argument is not simply that people lie in politics, but that organized systems of storytelling have repeatedly been used to define enemies, justify violence, and normalize unequal power. That historical sweep gives the book its force. It treats PSYOPs as a recurring American practice with changing technologies, not a temporary breakdown of democracy. Secondly, the book links propaganda to racial, gendered, and anti-LGBTQ+ panic. Newitz places culture war conflict at the center of the analysis, especially fights over race, gender, sexuality, and education. Rather than presenting these as spontaneous moral disagreements, the book reads them as coordinated or amplified narrative campaigns that designate certain groups as threats. This approach is visible in the discussion of anti-LGBTQ+ sentiment, where the book connects earlier Cold War-era suspicion of queer people with contemporary school board controversies and parental rights rhetoric. The same logic appears in the treatment of race science, eugenics, and claims about intelligence, which Newitz argues have been repeatedly packaged as legitimate concern even when they function as exclusionary propaganda. The significance of this section is methodological as well as political. It shows how prejudice becomes more durable when it is framed as common sense, concern for children, or objective social analysis. In this reading, propaganda is not only about persuasion, but about making bigotry appear normal and administratively reasonable. Thirdly, false rationality as a propaganda strategy. A distinctive concept in the book is false rationality, the practice of wrapping ideological claims in the appearance of neutral evidence and sober reasoning. Newitz uses this idea to explain why some forms of propaganda are harder to detect than obvious lies or sensational slogans. Instead of using open emotional manipulation, false rationality borrows the language of expertise, research, and objectivity to present prejudiced conclusions, as if they were merely data-driven. The book's discussion of Charles Murray and the bell curve is a clear example of this method, because it shows how controversial social claims can be dressed up in a scientific style that encourages deference rather than skepticism. This matters because modern propaganda often succeeds by making audiences feel intellectually responsible for accepting it. Newitz's analysis suggests that the danger lies not only in false information, but in the rhetorical packaging that makes misinformation feel disciplined, balanced, and respectable. The result is a critique of how pseudo-objective language can shield ideology from public scrutiny. Fourthly, science fiction, advertising, and the making of PSYOPs. The book also emphasizes the surprising origins and migration of psychological warfare techniques across creative industries. Newitz highlights the role of science fiction writers and advertisers in the history of modern PSYOPs, arguing that the skills used to imagine persuasive worlds, construct audiences, and shape desire were adapted into tools of influence. This is one of the book's most original insights because it refuses to separate culture from coercion. Narrative forms do not merely reflect society. They can be engineered to steer perception and behavior. Advertising teaches audiences to connect identity with consumption, while science fiction provides models for alternate realities and emotionally compelling futures. In the book, those same capacities become politically consequential when transferred into propaganda systems. The point is not that fiction is inherently manipulative, but that all narrative technologies can be repurposed. By tracing this lineage, Nuits shows how modern information environments inherited their persuasive power from industries already skilled at shaping belief through emotion, repetition, and immersive worlds. Lastly, counter-storytelling is psychological disarmament. Despite its bleak subject, the book is not only a catalog of manipulation, it also argues that stories can be used to resist fear-based politics and broaden what people think is possible. Nuits treats counter-narratives as a form of psychological disarmament, meaning they can weaken authoritarian messaging by offering more credible, inclusive, or imaginative alternatives. The discussion of Wonder Woman as a counter-patriarchal cultural force reflects this idea fiction can intervene in public consciousness by dramatizing values that dominant systems try to suppress. This is an important distinction because it moves the book beyond critique into strategy. Rather than implying that all stories are equally suspect, Nuits shows that narrative power can be redirected toward solidarity, civic repair, and future building. The implication is that public resistance to propaganda is not only a matter of fact-checking, it also requires compelling stories that reduce isolation, challenge manufactured fear, and make different social arrangements feel thinkable. That makes the book relevant to activists, journalists, and readers concerned with democratic resilience. In conclusion, Stories Are Weapons will be most useful for readers who want a serious, historically grounded account of how propaganda works in the United States. It should appeal to people interested in media studies, political communication, history, civil rights, queer politics, and the mechanics of disinformation. Readers who follow election manipulation, online radicalization, or culture war media will find especially relevant insights. But the book is also valuable for anyone trying to understand why some forms of persuasion feel more durable than straightforward falsehoods. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers recognize the narrative techniques that make manipulation persuasive appeals to authority, pseudo-objectivity, fear-based framing, and the conversion of social prejudice into common sense. Nuits does not treat PSYOPs only as a security issue or a digital age problem.